Are you a leader or are you a follower? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Are you a leader or are you a follower? That's not as easy a statement as it appears on the surface. Are you a leader or are you a follower? A leader is one who is filled with ideas, filled with enthusiasm, filled with great thoughts, and wants to carry them out. A follower is somebody who doesn't want to step out on their own. They're afraid to be creative. A follower is a person who must have a leader to live a successful life. Now, you say, well, who wants to be a follower? A follower doesn't sound very exciting. And yet, that's what most people are. They're followers. Now, why are they followers? They are followers because they're afraid to step out on their own. Now, does a leader have followers? And the answer is no. A leader does not have followers. A leader does his own thing, and if anybody wants to do it too, that's fine, but he doesn't care. He does not live his life for other people. He does not live his life so that other people can find the way. He is not the way, the truth, and the life like Jesus was. What does that make Jesus then? Does that make Jesus a leader? Or does that make Jesus a follower? Well, Jesus was neither a leader nor a follower. Jesus had disciples, and what did the disciples follow? The teaching. All true, they wanted to follow him because they thought he was a good, easy source for things and to take care of them, and he was a good show. He was the only show in town. And so they followed him. Now, what about you? Are you a leader or a follower? Are you the kind of person that's filled with ideas and go out and carry out your ideas? Or are you the kind of person that needs somebody else to bring excitement into your life? Do you say to someone, let's go to the show? And that sounds all right, doesn't it? But you're a follower if you say that, because you can't go to the show without someone else going with you. You just say, see you guys, and where are you going? I'm going to the show. Can we come too? Theater tickets are open to everybody. Can I do this? Can I do that? Hey, whatever you want to do. Well, why don't you tell us what you're going to do so we can do it too? Well, I want to do my own thing. Now, in the morning, Ellen and I synchronize our paths. We seem to come out of our houses about the same time, even though I come out in a totally different direction and go up on top of the mountain, come around and down the side, and she comes out of her house. Now, we say good morning, and then we walk along together. And then Ellen stops and lets her dog sniff and piddle and do the things he wants to do. And then she hurries and catches up with me. And then she stops to let her dog do his duty. And then she hurries to catch up with me. And then she walks fast, and then she walks slow. And she sort of expects me to walk along with her. And then she sort of expects that she's going to walk along with me. Well, now, my path is entirely different. I walk at a different speed. I am not urged to go chop, 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 chop. I'm not a pacer, a racer, a jogger. I'm not a jogger. I don't jog. I just walk along at a nice pace, and I enjoy myself, and I do it very much, and my body feels perfect. I feel wonderful. I get more exercise than the average bear, and I'm doing just fine. Now, Ellen would like me to walk at her pace. Now, she's not wanting me to walk at her pace because she wants me to walk at her pace, but she wants me to walk at her pace because she wants to walk at her pace. So I sat down on the bench at the Oasis, and I just relaxed for a few moments, and I said, "Ellen, you go ahead." You know. So Ellen walked on ahead. And as soon as Ellen and little Love were gone, Rex sat right next to me. He sat there and he enjoyed himself so much. And then he looked out and he saw Ellen marching way off. And he thought, "I better go check on that." So he ran off to check on her. Well, I didn't pay attention. I just continued meditating on the bench and enjoying sitting on the wet bench, which has the morning dew on it, and it was all soaking wet. And I didn't feel it. And I just relaxed and was meditating and feeling very good about myself and about the world. And I was leading my thoughts where I wanted them to go. And I wasn't rushing to consider somebody else there. You know, whenever you walk with anybody else on the path, or whenever you meditate with somebody else, you consider them, you know. And consider two monks walking along a trail. If they talk to each other, they're not monks. They're just people having a conversation. If they're doing their own thing, they don't need the other. They do their own thing and enjoy it and feel very good about it. Now, a leader is one who does not feel intimidated by walking with another person. A leader is one who does not feel intimidated by what the world expects of them. A leader just does what they know is right. Now, as I say these things, I think to myself, "Oh, yeah. People will say, "Well, at the monastery you should do these things. At the monastery you should do those things. At the monastery that's what we do. At the monastery we pay attention to the rules. At the monastery you've got to follow the rules of the abbot or the abbess, whatever they tell you to do. At the monastery you got to get up in the morning. You got to go to bed at night. You got to do your laundry. You got to eat your food. You got to go to the toilet. You got to clean your house. You got to do the chores that you're supposed to." Now, that's no fun. You're not a leader when you're doing those things. Well, no, you're not a leader. A leader does his own thing. Now, when you make doing the things you do in your life your choice, then you are a leader. Do you choose to cut your own toenails, or do you want somebody else to cut them? We took Ingeborg into the pedicurist and wanted to have her toenails done. Ingeborg says, "I can do it myself." And I said, "Ingeborg, you're having this wonderful person who knows all about cutting toenails and massaging feet, you know, and making you feel real good. Go and try it." So she did, and I said, "How did you like that?" She said, "Oh, that was great. But to get her to do it was tough." And then the next time we wanted to take her in, a month or so later, she didn't want to do it. She says, "I don't really need that. I don't need that." Well, now, what was it she didn't need? What she didn't need is being told that she should do it. What she didn't need is being told by the pedicurist to sit down and relax and let me handle this here. She didn't want that. We're all like that. How many of you go into the hairdresser, the barbershop, or whatever, and as you go in there, you sit in the chair, and they say, "What kind of a cut do you want?" And you say, "Normal, ordinary, you know," or you give them instructions. And then, do you expect that they're going to carry out your instructions, or do you think that they're going to do a miserable job? Do you expect that they're going to do exactly what you tell them to do? If you do, then you're a leader. If you expect they will not follow your instructions and will not do it right, then you're a follower. You're a follower who feels that somebody else is in control of your life and control of your world. Now, the monks at the monastery each have tasks that they have chosen, and when they no longer want to do a task, they stop doing it, and then we take the task away. And if at any point they have stopped wanting to do everything and we've taken all their tasks away, then there's obviously no reason for them to be at the monastery. There's no reason for them to be here, because being at the monastery is fulfilling the tasks that they're given to do. Now, What if they don't like the task? What if they'd like some other tasks? Well, talk about it. Talk about it. And maybe you don't want to be the gardener anymore. Maybe you don't want to be the typesetter anymore. Maybe you don't want to be the cook. Maybe you don't want to be whatever. Talk about it and see what arrangements can be made. Because it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what you do. The only thing, a leader likes what they do. A leader follows their heart. A leader listens to their inner drive, their inner direction. And that inner direction says, I want to be a monk. And I want to be whatever a monk is, whatever it entails to be a monk. Or I don't want to be a monk. I want to be a private citizen. I want to be a person. I don't want to be in the military. I don't want to be in the military. Well, why do you create yourself in the military, you know? Why do you create yourself in circumstances that you don't want to be in? You create yourself in circumstances that you want to be in by being a leader, by having your thoughts, your ideas, your directions, your goals, your choices, all in the direction you want to be. Now, what is it you want out of life? You all know, I ask you this question from time to time, here's $1 million, what are you going to do with it? If you could tell me in 10 minutes, in 10 seconds, or whatever, what you're going to do with it, you could have it. And you can't. Oh, I'm going to spend it on this, spend it on that. No, you aren't. No, you aren't. If you're going to go and just spend it on that, you won't have it. Now, what are you going to do with this $1 million to make your life happy? Oh, I'm buying a new suit. Isn't that wonderful? Or a house. Or a car. Or something. How are you going to pay the taxes on that house? How are you going to pay the insurance and license on the car? How are you going to do that? You spend it all on that. You see, if you don't program yourself, budget yourself, plan yourself, as a leader would, a leader thinks in the total picture. I'm not talking about thinking ahead. I'm saying thinking of the total picture. You got taxes, you got insurance, you got gasoline and oil, you got all the maintenance and upkeep. You got a car is not just a car. A car is a pretty thing, you know. But the thing is, it has demands. And a job is not just a job, it has demands. And if in all things you go in it with all your heart and all your love and all your joy, then you're a leader. If you go in it and you say somebody else is telling you what to do, somebody else is pushing you around, somebody else is making your life one thing or another, then what you are doing is you're just a follower. And followers are a dime a dozen. Nobody needs a follower. We don't want followers up here at the monastery. Because if we have followers up here at the monastery, then they're always going to be saying, what do we want me to do next? What should I do next? What should I do next? We want someone who's a creative person who's looking at the monastery and seeing all the things that they can participate in, that they can do, when they're done with things that they're programmed to do. Now, a leader is someone who's excited about life. A leader is someone who's excited about their life, what they're doing and what is going on in their experience, not what goes on in somebody else's life. Ellen is not the leader of the monastery here, even though she's an abbess. She's not the leader. Ellen is the leader of herself. She is a leader of herself and the tasks she gives herself. And when Ellen has a task that isn't comfortable for her, then she comes running to me. And she says, what am I going to do about this here? And I say, well, what do you think you're going to do? Ellen, if you don't like it, don't do it. Well, if I don't do it, then this bad thing will happen. No, it won't. Something worse, but not that. But the thing is, if you don't like yourself, if you are not enjoying life and enjoying every moment of your life, you're not a leader. And you're not a follower. You're just an is, a nothing. You're not even a nothing. Because you don't like yourself. But when you like yourself, then you are the leader. Because you'll do things that make you happy. Now, Ellen, I'm going to the beach this afternoon. You want to come along? Ellen says, thank you very much. No. You don't want to go to the beach? It's such a lovely sunny day and so beautiful. Do you don't want to go to the beach? No, I have some other things I'm doing. Well, what are you doing? As though it's my business to ask her what she's doing. What are you doing? Well, I'm going to wash my underclothes. You're going to wash your underclothes, and that's going to keep you from spending an afternoon at the beach? Boy, you can wash your underclothes anytime, you know, all night long. I choose to do it right now. This is what I choose to do, and that's what makes me happy. Well, I should think of making you happy going to the beach. It makes you happy, Herb, not me. Perhaps you don't want to wash my underclothes, but you want to go to the beach. You know, whatever makes you happy. But now you see, we all have to walk our own path. We all have to do our own thing. Now, when we have tasks that are assignments that come because they're scheduled to be done, we do them. And if we don't do them, then the task is taken away from us. Somebody else does it. Or nobody does it. And it's just left undone. If Sylvia were saying, hey, I don't feel like making breakfast this morning, and that's her task. So then all of us would go without breakfast because Sylvia didn't make breakfast. No, all of us would say, okay, this morning I'll make my own breakfast. And so we make our own breakfast. And as we make our own breakfast, we say, oh, this is fun. And then we go about our business, we go about our life. We don't say, oh, Sylvia was terrible because she didn't do what she's supposed to do. Sylvia was terrible because she didn't make the breakfast like it was her schedule to do. We don't say that. That would make us unhappy, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that make us unhappy? Yes. And do we ever do anything that makes us unhappy? No. So we don't pay any attention to it. We don't pay any attention. We keep our nose 1,000,000% out of anybody else's business, and we put it only in ours. Now, Ellen said, but I'm responsible to see that people do these chores. Yes, Ellen. You are responsible to see that they do the chore. And now, how are you responsible to see that they do it? You are responsible to make sure they understand what it is that is to be done, and that it is to be done now, and that is that. Now, if they don't do it, you don't get upset about it. You don't get uptight about it. You just either go do it yourself or forget it. If they don't sweep the sidewalk like you asked them to do because you want it to be nice, then if they don't do it, so the sidewalk is dirty. Or you do it yourself. In Kung Fu, remember how we watched that movie and this boy was out sweeping the sidewalk and his master said, go do it again, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again, until the lad no longer thought he was sweeping the sidewalk. He was doing a specific operation that was being a blessing to him because his attitude about it was one of total acceptance, total enjoyment, total delight. He did it with a happy heart. And when he was done doing it with a happy heart, then what? He didn't have to do it anymore. When he arrived, but they couldn't tell him that. They couldn't say, now, when you learn to do this with a happy heart, you won't have to do it anymore. Well, you mean I'm going to have to do it forever if my heart's not happy? Well, yes, essentially, yes. Mm-hmm. And if that's what you're going to think about, then you're going to have an unhappy heart forever, you know. All of us have the opportunity to walk as masters, walk as leaders, walk as followers. We all have the opportunity to do whichever we want to do. And if you ever allow anyone to intimidate you from being the leader that you are, if you are, or being the follower that you are, then you're not worth a hill of beans. I don't know where a hill of beans comes in, but that's a statement. You're not worth anything. And why is it you're not worth anything? Because you haven't decided who you are. You haven't decided what role you want to play. You know, they say good followers are followers who know how to follow. Good leaders are leaders who know how to lead. You say, well, you can't define a subject with a subject. You know, you can't take a word and use it to define itself. Well, you can. You know, a leader number one is happy. Being themselves and having fun. A leader is happy being themselves and having fun. A leader is doing their own thing. And you might say their own damn thing, you know. But a leader is doing their own thing. But they have chosen to do. Now, whether that thing is sweeping the sidewalk, whether that thing is making a meal, whether that thing is hemming up a garment, whether that thing is putting up the flag or taking it down, or whether that thing is taking care of the garden or writing a great novel or whatever that thing may be, if it brings you joy, if you are happy doing it, then you are a leader. If it doesn't bring you happiness doing it, you're not a leader. Now, if it doesn't bring you happiness doing it, you're not a follower either. Because a follower does everything, as in Kung Fu, until he no longer had an attitude about what he was doing. So long as his attitude about sweeping the sidewalk was, "I swept it already, I swept it 6 times this morning, now why do I have to sweep it again?" Well, you sweep it again because you've been asked to do it. And you've been asked to do it not to piss you off, not to disgust you, not to make you irritated, but to make you feel, "Hey, thank you. Happy to do it." I say, "Sylvia, will you pick up my vitamins when you're in town?" Sylvia says, "Sure, glad to." Now, she's not ticked off at me for asking her to make a special stop for me. She's happy to do it. She's happy to do anything that she's asked to do when she goes in town, because she knows that it makes us happy when she does it. But more so, it makes her happy when she does something nice for those in her world, because she creates those in her world interacting with her. And this is how we should do it. This is how we should do it. Now, Ingeborg, she says, "Well, I'm working on the mail, and I'm working on the stamps, and I'm working on this and that. Now, what kind of stamps are this or that? What kind of stamps are that or that?" And Ellen says, "Well, we should check out these things, and we should know what these things are." And Sylvia says, "Well, this is what we've been using, this is how we've been doing it, and this is what the story is." And I sit and listen to this little triumph, and I think to myself, what a bunch of idiots. What a bunch of idiots. You think you know it all. You think you're so smart. And all you have to do is dial the post office and ask the postmaster what it is that you want to know. You say, "What's your name?"
Jan.
Jan, we're going to be mailing out a bunch of things to Europe and so forth, and we don't want to put 100 stamps on it. We want to put, you know, one or two stamps on it, you know, that are adding up to the postage as much as possible. Now, what sort of stamps would we use?" And she said, "Well, now, what weight are you having? And what substance?" And you say, "Well, it's going to be 3 ounces, or it's going to be 8 ounces, it's going to be whatever, and this is what it's going to be." And she says, "Just a minute." So she goes into her little tick machine, and she goes, tick, 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 and her machine says, 8 ounces is going to be 2 cents. Sounds good, doesn't it? 8 ounces is going to be 2 cents. And you say, "Well, thank you very much. Do you have 2 cent stamps?" She says, "No, but we have 2 half-cent stamps." and we have 1 cent stamps. So you buy what you must, and you do what you must. But hey, you don't argue about something that the answer is not here, but the answer is here. You check on the answer where it is. And when you check on the answer where it is, what happens? You get the right answer. And it's beautiful. But are you a follower or are you a leader? If you're going to be a leader, just remember, you're a leader, number one, of yourself. And you're being yourself and having fun. If you're a follower, you are sort of a, you have no interest in anything. You have no interest in life. You just slug along with the group. When a group are out for a walk, when a group are out for a walk, the group has a lot of followers, you know. And then what do these followers do? Do any of these followers ever stop and look at something and say, oh, look at this lovely flower? And then the group is way up there. Mm-hmm. And then they say, oh my gosh, the group's way up there. No, they don't say that. They smell that lovely flower. That's what I came here for. It's to smell that lovely flower, you know. And then if they choose to catch up with the group, they catch up with them. Or if they now are the leader, being themselves and having fun, they decide, hey, I'm going to go a different direction. I don't have to be in the group. I pay the ticket price there, and I can come and go as I wish, you know, or whatever. So, are you a leader or a follower? Did you learn how to be a follower by stopping to smell the flowers? By stopping to do what you wanted to do? By stopping to do what made you happy? And if anything you're doing is not making you happy, quit. Quit and run away from it. If it's a marriage, quit and run away from it, because you're not making the marriage very happy. But if you want to be a good leader, you say, I like me, I am myself, and I have fun.
Everything I do.
And when you say, I like me, I am myself, and I have fun, you will make the most ideal marriage partner on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. And you will have the most ideal marriage, the most ideal relationship. You will raise the most ideal children. You'll have the most ideal spouse. You'll have the most ideal job. When you like yourself, you're doing your own thing and being yourself and having fun. It all works out. But if you're always angry at everything, you're always upset because people are pushing you around, people are telling you what to do, then, well, stop the world you want to get off, because it's just really not your thing. What kind of a God do we have? Is it a happy God?
Yes.
Did Jesus say God was a God of hatred and anger and anxiety and tension?
Not at all. God of love.
God is a God of love. That's a good way to start, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Ellen is telling me, Herb, when I first came to the organization 30 years ago, we were always saying, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am. Now, how come we are not saying that all the time anymore? And I said to her, well, I don't know, how come we're not saying it anymore? What do you think? And she said, well, I think that's nice to say. I think it's nice to teach to the newcomers, and it's nice to say. And I say, well, Ellen, what do you think we should do? And she said, well, we should, I don't want to tell you what to do, Herb. That's right. Don't tell me what to do. Who should she tell what to do?
I to myself.
Now, should Ellen go around saying, I'm God, God I am, if that's what she believes is something very lovely and beautiful? And does Ellen have to have everybody else say that to make it exciting for her? No. Be yourself and have fun. Walk your own path, do your own thing, and enjoy. And if you want, I'm around. And I'm thinking loving thoughts for you.
Thank you.
And I'm thinking wonderful, fulfilling attitudes for you that make your life richer and fuller and more beautiful. But I am not going to pick up after you or point the way in front of you. I'm merely going to walk with you when you make your decision what you want to do. And your decision is not to be a monk. Your decision is not to be a woman, not to be a mother, a leader, a grandmother, or whatever, student, philosopher. Your decision is one thing alone, to be yourself and have fun, whatever that may be at the moment. And every moment, your being yourself and having fun choice changes. One moment you love riding in the car, smelling the fresh breeze. Another moment you love, like Ellen. She comes here to the monastery, and all the monks are at the monastery. And so what does she do? Breakfast is not quite ready yet, not quite 8 o'clock for us to have our own. And she goes outside with the broom and sweeps the sidewalk. She sweeps the area. She goes around doing hundreds of little things all over the place, making them nice. When she goes over by the citadel, and she sees the tree leaning there. She reaches up and pulls the rope and straightens up the rope so the tree is standing straight. It'll grow straight. And we had a number of trees over there with ropes on them because their root system is a little weak. And so she just pulls it up. It just takes 2 seconds. It's not a hard work. It's not, the tree gives quite easily. And so whenever she does anything, she goes by any house, whether it's my, she comes to my house, the Hermitage, where I live. And if I'm not there, she grabs my vacuum cleaner and vacuums my floor. And then if the sun's not shining on the windows, she washes the windows for me. And then she cleans up here and cleans up there. Actually, I have just cleaned it up in the morning myself. And then she comes in and she finds dirt that I didn't even see. But she's good at that. But she doesn't say, "Herb, I found dirt in your house." She just cleans it up and shuts up and gets out of there. And I don't even know if she's there. And my house just always sparkles. And I think it's because I love it so much.
That is a good one.
And that's the way we want it to be. And here, Ellen goes into Ingeborg's domain in her bedroom in her office. And she looks at it and she says, "Well, I would do that a little differently." And so she rearranges all of Ingeborg's papers and all of Ingeborg's household goodies and stuff, and Ingeborg comes in here, "How am I going to find anything now? You rearranged it all." And Ellen says, "Well, that's just my good deed for today." "Good deed? How am I going to find anything now? You rearranged it." "Well," Ingeborg looks around, she says, "It's kind of nice. Ellen went through here with a vacuum cleaner and everything else, and it looks just pretty nice in my bedroom in my office, and it's really nice. And I can make my desk just like I want it in 2 seconds, so it's no big deal. It's no big deal." "Right, Ingeborg?" "Right." "And right, Sylvia?"
"Right."
"Right, Ellen?"
"Right."
"Right, Herb?"
"Right."
"Right, Rex? Little love?" Me too, is it? Or what's the name of the boy?
Genie. And like me.
Like me. Oh, like me. Genie and like me are two cats. And I took these stitches out of Genie's tummy. She had been fixed. And so it was time to take the stitches out. And so she didn't want to be around any of us. She wanted to do her own thing. But so we brought her in and put her on my lap. And I snuggled her head and with one hand and juggled the scissors with the other hand, and Sylvia held the bottom hand, and so we looked at a few snips here and a little snip there. It only took a moment, and Jeannie, because I was not concerned, I was not anxious about it at all, and it was none of Sylvia's business, she merely was holding on, but I was not anxious at all. I gave that kitten my feeling of security, my feeling of peace, my feeling of love, and the kitten's fine. Then we dropped the scissors on the floor. Bang! And the cat thought, "Uh-oh, time for me to get out of this place." And she was gone because we weren't paying attention. And the cat was done and gone. Done and gone. The cat was being a leader. The cat was being a leader when she was allowing us to play with her and work with her. The cat was being a leader when she decided to take off. She's just always in charge. And you and I are always in charge. And our world is very wonderful and getting more wonderful every single day because we like ourselves and we're having fun. Yeah. Enjoy. That's what life's all about. I love you. I love you.
I love you.